Hello and welcome back to the PAL with Reb D, the Pirkei Avos Learning, the show where we talk a Mishnah of Pirkei Avos per day with sagely commentary and practical advice to say. I'm your host, Reb D. Feel free to shoot us an email for any questions or comments at MaximumTEE@Yahoo.com. All previous episodes and all previous seasons, we're currently in the middle of season 3, are available at anchor.fm/Reb T, actually. We just updated the link, anchor.fm/REBT. All episodes and seasons at Reb T's link on Anchor, anchor.fm/Reb T, just updated that. We are in 415 Dalet Tetvav with the help of Yad Avraham from Art Scroll. We like to use a different commentary bleen under every cycle, and we're in the middle of this one. Let's see, this one, very famous sayings about why good things happen. We don't understand why good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. Let's see if the Pirkei Avos with Rav Yanai in the Mishnah can enlighten us a little bit. Rav Yanai Omer, Rav Yanai says, Ein biyadenu lo mishalvas harishaim. It is not in our hands to explain either the tranquility of the wicked, va'af lo miyisuri hatzadikim, or the suffering of the righteous. Rabbi Masya ben Charash, Omer Rabbi Masya ben Charash says, Hevi makdim b'shalom kol adam. You should initiate a greeting to every person. Similar to what we've said many times on the show before. Always greeting everybody and being the first one to greet somebody. Being the one to initiate responses and having smiles and friendly faces to everyone you meet. But you should initiate the greeting. Don't wait to be greeted. Vehevi zanav la'arayos. And be a tail to lions. Ve'al tehi rosh Leshu alim, rather than a head to foxes. It's better to be a tail to lions rather than a head to foxes. They're going to talk about this in the Mishnah, but really it's similar to the idea of following around the sages instead of being the head of the fools. Better to find out who you could associate with, better to chase people who are smarter and can give you more information, sagely advice, than heading of people who just talk narshkeit or nonsense. But let's see what we could learn from the Yad Avraham. So Rav Yanai was one of the last Tanaim, was a disciple of Rav Yehuda Hanasi and the teacher of Rav Yochanan, one of the first Amoraim, as Magen Avos explains. Not in our hands to explain the tranquility of the wicked, or suffering of the righteous. As humans, we lack the ability to understand why the wicked prosper in this world while the righteous are made to suffer, when our logic would dictate that the opposite should be the case, as Rav explains, the age-old question. The Tanakh acknowledges that God has good reasons for the way he treats the righteous and wicked, as Deuteronomy explains, Ki kol derachav mishpat, for all his paths are justice, as explained by Rav Bachya. However, due to our limited intelligence, it is beyond our grasp to fathom his reasons, as Rav Yonah points out. We find that even the prophets were confounded by this age-old anomaly, as it says in Yirmiyahu, You're righteous, Hashem, though I might express a grievance to you, I will speak with you of judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper, and why are all the betrayers tranquil? And it's true that the wicked are sometimes rewarded in this world for their few good deeds, so they receive their full punishment in the world to come. Similarly, the righteous are sometimes punished in this world for their few sins, so that they may receive their full reward in the world to come. However, based on this rationalization, all righteous people should be afflicted with suffering, and all the wicked blessed with tranquility. But the reason we remain confounded is that we see many righteous people who are blessed with material success, and wicked people who live in misery and poverty. We must then account for the prosperity of some righteous individuals and the suffering of some wicked persons in some other way, as Chassid Yavis explains. The Mishnah comes to teach us that if we see a wicked person enjoying a good life, we should not conclude that his deeds are meritorious and that we should emulate his ways, for the wicked may have undeserved comfort. Similarly, if we see a righteous person who suffers despite his righteousness, we must not conclude that his deeds were not righteous, for the righteous sometimes endure unexplainable suffering. As the Derech Chaim explains, it's a very hard concept to come by and to grapple with and to come to terms with, but really we're not meant to understand it. We're not really going to ever understand it, but what we could do is try to live as best as we can. And what Hashem sends to us is out of our best interests. He does everything for the best. Gamzu Latova, as we talked about the other day, Nachum Ish Gamzu, Rabbi Akiva's teacher, had a very hard life, but he always said everything was for the best. And Rabbi Akiva himself saw that one time when he was in the woods and everything was taken away from him, and he found out it was because it was Hashem's way of saving him, because the bandits, the robbers, would have gotten him had he had any of the things around. So then Rav Masya headed an academy and a bezin in Rome and was a model of piety and fear of sin. Sima Ganavos. Initiate that greeting to every person. One should be the first to greet every person he meets. I think there was a sage that Talmud talks about in the Gemara who said that there was never someone who initiated a greeting before me. He must have taken this Mishnah very seriously. One should be the first to greet that person, every person, even a person of lower social standing or a non-Jew before the other person has a chance to greet him first, as Robin Tefer Sixtrella explains. Rav Masya stresses that one should be the initiate of the greeting and not be satisfied to reply to those who greet him first, as Medrash Shmuel points out. The Talmud praises Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that's the sage we're talking about, as one who never allowed anyone, even a non-Jew, to greet him first, as Brachos points out. The Tanna exhorts one to greet his fellow men in order to endear himself to them, as Meiri explains. Derech Chaim adds that it is an act of humility to initiate a greeting to another person, and it demonstrates that one considers that person to be important. One who is the first to greet others promotes peace among his fellow men, fulfilling the directive of King David, Bakei Shalom Virad Vehu. That comes from Tehillim. Seek peace and pursue it. Medrash Shmuel adds that the Tanna encourages one to make an overture to peace and extend a greeting even to one he views as his enemy. Rav Bachi explains Rav Masya urges us to include the name of God in our greeting, like one should greet another by saying, may God endow you with peace, like Shalom Aleichem, which is also one of God's names. This is in fulfillment of the rabbinical enactment to include God's name in a greeting as taught in Brachos, which just came up recently in Daf Yomi. This enactment was instituted because a greeting containing God's name, essentially blessing the God grants one's colleagues peace and support, spreads friendship and goodwill among men. And we should use God's name when greeting anyone, including a non-Jew, but don't use Hashem's name in vain, God forbid. And be a tail to lions rather than a head to foxes. It's better to be a disciple of people wiser than oneself than to be the mentor of those who are his intellectual inferiors. If one learns under a teacher greater than oneself, he will constantly advance in his studies. However, if he chooses to teach students who are less proficient than he is, he will have no one to challenge him. Not only will he not progress in his personal studies, he might even regress. As Rav Yonah and Rambam commentary point out, in the Talmud, outstanding scholars are commonly referred to as lions, whereas those of a lower standard are referred to as foxes. And Baba Kama, Baba Mitzia point that out. The idea of these organization with Sanhedrin show this. The seating protocol reflected the intellectual hierarchy. The greater the sage, the closer to the center. When a member died, everyone moved up a seat. The last seat then empty was filled by the highest ranking member of a lower court. Thus, the new member, formerly a head of foxes, now became a tail of lions, as Sanhedrin points out. And the Tanna wishes to convey the idea that one should never feel fully accomplished and no longer need of a mentor. You should always strive to advance and grow intellectually. That's why the Tanna says that one has to choose between a student of a scholar who is superior and a teacher of students who are inferior. Go to the one who is superior, as Meiri points out, and also try to find those who are morally superior to him. Find people that you can emulate that are morally superior instead of finding yourself quote-unquote superior to others. It's better to be subservient to the righteous than a leader over lowly or wicked people. So make sure to choose your friends wisely. Choose the people you learn from wisely. Make sure to realize that things in the world don't always have an explanation, don't always seem logical, but Hashem has his accounting. Hashem has his reasons, and just do your best following the Torah, following the mitzvah, spreading goodwill and doing chesed in the world as much as possible, and chase after those lions, those sages who could teach you more than being around the foxes. Join us next time as we talk about this world being an antechamber before the world to come. Prepare yourself here so that you could go up there, here on the PAL with Reb T. And I'm your host, Reb T.